Talk WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively at Conrad's Crabs and Seafood Market. It says Parkville here. I'm dubious. I think we're in Bainesville. We're in Lock Raven. He thinks we're in East Towson. Greg Landry is here. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill. I got my Goodwill truck. I am donating. There's a Goodwill facility right across the street. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Did you win?
Not today.
Steve Elliott won $5, so let's hear it for Steve. Steve was our guest in the beginning of the program at LA Chiropractic Life. Our friends at the lottery put us on the road here. I'm wearing my Window Nation hat, the Restaurant Association of Maryland, reminding everybody that the 16th to the 25th of September, go out, make your best deal, take care of local places like Conrad's, like Towson Transfers. You're in the neighborhood, man.
Literally, I walked here. It was a very short walk.
God, did I know that
Three blocks?
Did I not know that?
I think you knew I was in this rough area, right?
I always remember you being on Reisterstown Road, so I don't.
I was there a long
time. So I associate that if I'm going to get in the car and drive to Blue Rock Productions, I'm going to be somewhere around Pimlico, Reisterstown Road, south of the Reisterstown Road Plaza.
That's right. I was in the city for 24 of my 28 years, so.
You've been here 4 years now.
Yeah.
Well, you live out in the county. And,
I do.
Greg and I are old mates. He married Harvey Meyer's daughter. Harvey, of course, owned the Emerald Tavern back in the day, one of my very first sponsors. Back when the Ravens didn't exist, I used to wear Oilers stuff to Harvey's place.
That's
and
right.
He would get those games for me. But Greg's been my videographer, shooting commercials for me at WNST. 24 years on Wednesday, WNST.
Yes, congratulations.
Here. And this is, thank you. This is our 31st anniversary, which is why I'm doing 31 crab cakes. And by the way, I'm getting my first crab cake here at Conrad's today. We're getting our first beer at Red Brick Station because it was the first brewery that I went to, other than Hugh Sisson's place down at Sisson's.
Right.
But Bill Blocker was the first guy. I'm going to brew beer here. That's a pretty good Bill, too. I'm going to brew beer here. Root beer, beer, beer. Beer's going to catch on. Craft beer. Everybody's going to make their own beer. I'm like, yeah, sure, pal.
Right.
Sure they will.
Right.
Sure. Like, Budweiser's going to stop, and Miller and Coors. And sure enough, the craft beer thing is...
took off.
It's, yeah. And you know what's cool about this tour is last year, it was about seeing Antietam and seeing Blackwater Refuge and seeing New Deep Creek and stuff. This time, we're going to places we fell in love with. Frederick, mm-hmm. Swallow Falls, love Deep Creek. We're going to do these things. But the brewery thing, we passed all of them last year. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of breweries. Like, you know, you see them on labels or RAR or an Evolution in Salisbury, these places. But then you go online and see what they look like. This Inverness up here with this beautiful
That's
chandelier.
Right. Yeah.
The small business, man. Like, it's all you've ever done. It's what I do. There's a whole new inspiration for all this stuff. And you got a new company, Towson Transfers.
Yes. I'm very small, but growing. And this is one of the exciting things we're planning to grow even more as we're going to be advertising on WNST.
Well, you'll hear Greg, and Greg's been around for a long time. We've talked about it last time. If you have old pictures, old videotapes, I told my crazy Mike Flynn Super Bowl, which is, I don't know if you get a better story than a lost
That's
Super
a great
Bowl
story.
Tape, right?
Great story.
Literally, and
yes.
It's so perfect now that it's, and I put it in the middle of Purple Rain 2 if you're seeing Purple Rain 1. I don't have the parade for Purple Rain 2. I was too busy running through it, scared for my life. Purple Rain 1, this was a safer parade. The videotape's all up, and the books are up as well. You come at this honestly. Like, we're sports fans. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, we talk about Harvey and football and sports, and Harvey and I going to Grey Cup. But you're a sports fan. You're an Oriole Raven guy,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. Yes.
I met you aside from even your marriage or your wife or Susan or anything. You were the videographer at the old Bandits games, as
Bandits.
I remember it.
The Baltimore Bandits games. I was up there in the upper level, and I had my three VHS decks,
God,
right?
I've known you that long.
Yeah, this goes back.
Like 94,
yeah.
93, 94, 95.
That's right. So I had my
I've
camera
known
up there.
You 30 years.
That's a long time.
Wow, Greg. That's a lot of legs there. So you used to have the big tripod.
Yep.
And you would videotape the goals, right?
Yeah.
And then Channel 11, 2, and 13 would just want... Like,
well, that was for the blast. Now this is an evolution. So I'll go back to
okay.
The Bandits days. So I would be up there. I was just filming. I would make three VHS tapes. I would connect my camera to the three decks.
Do you mind if I eat some coleslaw?
Please do.
All right, I'm gonna have some coleslaw here.
I'll tell
summertime.
A story.
It's picnic time.
And so I would hook it up to the three VHS decks, and then after the game, I would give one to the home team, one to the away team, and one to the referees.
You had three decks. You had three
different
three
decks.
Tapes.
I would bring my.
I
would bring three
this.
VHS decks under my arm.
You sat at
tripod.
The foot of section 310.
Yep.
Literally.
Yeah.
And in the they didn't open the upper deck much, and if they did, it was a couple kids running around.
Well, no, actually, there was a for these games, there was people up there, a very hearty group of about 15 people that loved sitting in the upper deck. They loved the perspective, so they chose to sit up there. They could have sat anywhere they wanted, but they loved being in the top, almost up to the press box.
I had Kenny Albert on after Goose died. You know, he and Goose were very close.
Yeah,
and I did not know. I never talked to either one of them about each other.
Yeah,
but they were close. And Kenny and I talked about crawling into that, and I guess it's gone now, the catacomb, the little well, because right. They're redoing the arena.
Yeah.
I think I got Springsteen tickets. Thank you, Leonard Raskin. But that'll never be recreated. Those little wells. I mean, yeah. Jesus, they were a mess.
Yeah.
Perched up. It was a great view for a hockey game, though.
Yeah.
That section, it was like above section 206, 208, mm-hmm. but it was a little nest.
Yeah.
That you perch. Gene Ubriaco, I had lunch with Gene 2 days ago at Beaumont.
Nice.
My favorite people in the world, Gene Ubriaco.
That's great.
And his wife, Nella. Oh, my God. Just my heart. I wish I were related to him. He calls me his son, but I wish I were related to him. But he climbed in there with Kenny doing games. Sean Simpson has a picture of him and Marv Albert and Kenny Albert in that perch
right.
that I put up. So you were, like, above that perch.
Yeah.
And the Bandits lasted all of 10 minutes, 2 seasons, right?
Right. But then they moved down to Upper Marlboro. Did you follow them
Mike
down
Caggiano.
There? Mike Caggiano.
Christy yep. Krause, absolutely.
Yeah. And so the Chesapeake Icebreakers, I went down there and did a couple seasons down there, and then they went under. And that was it. But
did anybody ever go to those games in Upper Marlboro?
They were attended.
I never went
yeah,
to that
no,
arena.
It was
Showplace
good.
Arena or whatever it was?
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. They had a decent following.
I miss hockey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I come at it honest with sports. I mean, you're a sports guy. You gravitated to it. You loved being at the games.
Yeah.
It's important to you.
And I got it. I understood about, how to film, and I kind of brought that, to the production. You know, I was good at anticipating when the who was going to have the puck and, how it was set up. So I parlayed that into work for the Blast. Now, the Blast was a step up. They
sure.
really wanted to do some great things. So I would film with my professional gear, my Betacam SP. I would film in the first
now, this
half.
This is when I was doing the games, right?
Yeah.
I
yeah.
was doing the games with,
yeah,
I'll
wave
with Ted
to you.
Patterson.
Hey.
Ted Patterson and I did games, and then Gary Stein and I did games
yep.
for a couple of years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, so
that was fun. I love doing the Blast. I miss that. I did color.
Yeah.
It was fun. I got to be goofy. I got to unleash my Charlie
You did
Ekman.
A good job. That was a lot of
it
fun.
It was just fun. It
yes.
was meant to be fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to be serious, and Ted knew I was up there to cut up,
Right.
So
right.
I miss Ted Patterson, Shout out to Mike Patterson, anybody that loved Ted. I love Ted.
Yeah. So we had two teams when we would go to film these. We had one team that would do the game coverage just like we would do before, right, mm-hmm. with the tapes and everything. But then I would film with my professional camera, and I would try to get some highlights from the first half. I'd run back to my studio in Federal Hill, and literally,
really?
I'd get in the car, and I would go there real quick. I would edit together a highlight package. I would grab four. I would export onto four Betacam SP tapes, and I had a route. I would go to all the four TV stations in town before 10:30 at night. And so I would drop it off to Scott Garceau, and I'd drop it off.
So you'd shoot a little first half from 7:05 to 7:40.
Yep.
You'd get out of there. You'd go past John Spurrier and Red Locks playing the music down on the front.
Yep.
You'd pass John right up on the stage. You go out the little press thing. You drive, and then you edit from 8 until about 9.
Yep.
And then at 9, I guess you did 45.
Mm-hmm.
11, 13, and then 2.
2. Yeah, 2 was my
in
last
that
one.
In order.
2 was closest to home. And then I would get home just in time to turn on the news. And I would go from station to station, and there were my highlights right on the TV.
That's 1996 for you, right?
And that was some good hustle, but it was smart on their part. If you handed the stations good highlights on a silver platter, they would love them. Thank you. They would, thank you very much.
They know Greg's taking care of things.
Well, I got good at it. After a while, so I did it all the time. Some of these camera women that would be sent out, they would do it occasionally, and they would do okay. But if you do it all the time,
I'll
you get good
what,
at it.
I'll tell you what, man, the videography of my youth, and it's probably the same thing, the handheld camera where Channel 11 would try to go to a Boys Latin game, a Douglas game, a Mervo game,
yeah.
and a Delaney game, and shoot football on a Friday
right.
to get a couple of little, to show that they were out in the community,
right.
literally,
exactly.
right?
Exactly, yep.
And get that stuff back, and that was my job, man. Jim Hawes just lost his dad, and I friends with him. Jim Keith Mills, and I saw Keith a couple of weeks ago, Scott Garceau, Mike Gaffigan. Those were the guys that I interned with at Channel 2 in 1991, 92. My senior internship. I was on the radio at the time, and I was wearing my Oilers stuff. Scott Garceau would send me over to Little Caesar's Pizza on York Road. It was me, Scott, Keith, Mike, and Jim. And a guy like you delivering that tape to the front door at, you know, 10:15, Mary Beth was putting her makeup on, and Garceau's putting his makeup on and getting all that stuff. Sally Thorner, I think, was still there then. Mm-hmm. Seeing a television production house at that 30 years ago, it was a hub of activity.
Yeah.
To be there for the 11 o'clock news, yeah, see the switching, guys going up to the production suite, I wouldn't trade that for any. It wasn't an industry. I thought I wanted to work in it, but I didn't want to put makeup on. And I would always say to Scott, putting that little wet thing in your ear, that little IFB, as it was called.
Yep.
Even when they would set me up to do shoots and stuff, Marty Bass would set me up, I never really enjoyed wearing all that crap that you would stick on me.
That's right.
Stick that little wet noodle in my ear and wrap it around me. And that was television. It was a different art form than what I was used to.
That's right. So, so that was, those were exciting times, being right in there. The Blast won a lot of championships, and it was
exciting. Well, you turned it into a real company with commercials, videography work, did my wedding. I mean,
that's right.
You did all those kind of things, and now you're doing 1,000 transfers. If you have old media, that's kind of a weird word, but old video, old pictures, old, I said in the last segment, my parents had a little video camera, 1969. I was born in 68. There were old color,
actually
silent
film camera. So, you know,
Bell and Howe,
yeah,
right?
Not video, but film. Yeah.
Oh, I keep using the wrong word.
Right.
Film camera. 8mm little films that you put in the Bell and Howe projector.
That's right.
They're missing. I've said to my son, if you see a little yellow tape, I remember exactly what they looked
like.
That's
right. The little circle, like 3 inches.
Little circle. Yep. Yeah, they're little boxes. Yep. And I had a little Star Wars one. I Googled that one. It's worth $30 or something online. Yeah. But I remember getting that at the Kmart with the highlights of Star Wars. It was the only way you could get it, right?
Right.
And most of the projectors didn't have sound.
That's right.
Right, so most of it was sort of Charlie Chaplin silent, you know?
Yeah.
But if my son finds that tape, two tapes, it was from Snow Hill with deer, and the other was me at Christmas as a baby. Yeah. We had a projector that fired it up in 1978 when I was a kid. But I know those tapes existed at one point. But if a family finds that, they need to trust somebody. And they don't want to FedEx it off to Utah and have some processing plant. They're going to drive it down and see Greg here in Towson, period.
People are very happy that we're here. They're so relieved that they can drop it off face-to-face, hand-to-hand. And we take good care of people. And people, that's what people want. They don't want to send it out. You're right.
Well,
there's a lot of companies out there.
It like it's a family heirloom.
I do.
It is.
You know, because I treat it like it's my own. And so, I mean, when you gave me that tape of the Super Bowl, I was like, this is important. I knew how important it was to you. So, yeah.
Well, I can share it with the world now. That's the thing, right?
That's right.
So it's up in the book. It's in Purple Rain 1. If you want to see the parade and see his incredible work and Mike Flynn's videotape parade from January 30th, 2001, it's getting further and further.
Yeah.
21 and a half years. We lost Goose now, right?
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
That was your year. Where did you watch that Super Bowl?
At some friends over in Catonsville. You know, some people from the old neighborhood in South Baltimore where we used to live, they had moved out to Catonsville, went over to their house, and, you know, we were all nervous anticipation, and then we just rolled. We just took care of business.
Yeah, man, that was a night. I remember my mom calling me. I was walking out of the stadium in Tampa, getting on a shuttle to go to the team party, and my wife's on the phone with me, or my mother, I didn't have a wife then, my mother, that's Freudian, my mother's on the phone with me saying, there's girls walking with their shirts off down Pratt Street. I saw it on Channel 11. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on back there. But, you know, I mean, I'm just in a quiet parking lot down here in Tampa. Maybe I missed the party. Greg Landry's here. He's Towson Transfers. We're at Conrad's Crabs and Seafood Market. It is day one of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. 31 crab cakes starting with here at Conrad's. 31 breweries starting at Red Brick Station. All local businesses all over the state. Small local businesses like my friend Steve Elliott at Elliott Chiropractic Life. like my friend Paul Lamantia, whose business is so small he can't get away to come down here. He's up there cutting people's beautiful hair like mine at Gentleman's Gentleman, and the Towson Transfer is right around the corner. What a block this is. I got Goodwill across
going
the
on.
Street, right?
Yeah.
Conrad's here. I'm trying to think of, you know, who else I know within three blocks here. I've done the show at Hooters when Hooters was still in business
right.
down away.
Yeah.
But how many times I've driven Royal Farms, how much chicken and gas I've gotten
yes.
at that Royal Farms up
yep.
the street. Baneville Electronic. Almost every cord that we ever used. You know, we didn't go on the internet in the day. We didn't go to Radio Shack in the day. We went down to Baneville. And I have Baneville stickers on all sorts of equipment around my radio station. So being local, man, like, it's so important, and being a part of a community. And I know when it came time for you to move your business, you could have moved to Perry Hall. Why'd you pick here? Beltway?
It's just so close to home, and it's just so convenient. I mean, everything you want, like you're just saying, anything you want, is right here in this little corridor. And so it's just convenient. People are like, and honestly, everybody knows Total Wine, so they're like, I just say I'm near behind Total Wine. Oh, I know where that is. And so
right.
I just tell them I'm in the Pelican building, which is directly behind that. And people,
not in the hotel, by the way.
Not in the hotel.
I know where the hotel is.
Yeah. So, you know, but again, people want that hand-to-hand service, that, you know, contact, whether it's old films, it's any kind of tape format. We're talking about tape formats, VHS, VHS-C, 8mm, and then there was something called Hi8, and then even Digital 8. It was just kind of evolutions over time.
I used Hi8 in college.
Right.
1992.
Right. All depends
Hi8.
On when you were, you know, maybe when your kids were young.
Generation, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And then Mini DV, we talked about. That's what the Super Bowl tape was on. And so
you love digital, though, right? You're not, digital's.
No, I love it.
It's
I
fast.
Love it.
It's
love it. Digital editing. Taking all my pictures. All my pictures are digital, so that's good. But also, I want to say slides. People come to us. Remember the slide carousels? Did you have a slide carousel?
Well, a lot of people took pictures with slides when they traveled, right? Because they would
yep.
come back and have the carousel of all the things they saw, right?
Right. So people bring me their carousels, and we, you know, can transfer those to digital as well. And also photographs, you know, like you said, most people can do that themselves, you know, put it on a scanner and scan it, but some can't. So people are coming to us, and, you know, we have a really high-quality scanner, and so we take care of that. So, you know, pretty much anything you need transferred.
I'm going to round some stuff up and give you some more stuff, because I have more stuff that needs to get done.
Yeah, please
do. To some degree, you know.
Please
like,
do.
I got to figure out. I went through a generation. Well, when my wife got sick, and I know we've talked about this, when my wife was battling for her life, I was just trying to pass time, right?
Right.
And thinking, I don't know, dude, it's a Tony Robbins in me. It just is. Like, I need to be productive. Like, I that's why I don't fight with people. There's no productivity in it, right? Like, I need to be doing things moving forward. And when my wife got sick, I had all of these little tapes, the little answering machine tapes.
Oh, yes. Yep.
What's that format called?
That is
mini cassette.
Mini cassette.
Mini cassette.
Yep.
Okay. So the mini cassettes were how all of my rock and roll interviews happened.
Wow.
So when I in 19, why well, I told Steve this because he asked me the Engelbert Humperdinck story. So I told how we hit Engelbert Humperdinck and his Spadoobies playing tennis. You missed that one, but you'll listen to the segment. It involves Tom Kapp, and it involves fun stories, almost famous stories. So back in the day when I would interview a rock star, I had a little. The little handheld that they would have in court, like a little court mic
right.
that had the little tapes in it. And it had an out button, and it had a little suction cup that you could stick off the cord and plug in. It was how the CIA wiretapped people. I mean, literally, it was a wiretap is what it was. But I stuck it on the backside of the headpiece, and it would record perfectly. It would pick it up, the
nice.
Vibration and the sound of it, right? So I would tape those, and then we got high tech. About 1988, Mike Davis down at the Evening Sun gave me what would be known as an expense account. So I went to Radio Shack, and I didn't get the $49 or the $69 or the $99. I got the $139, right? I got the console with two tapes. One tape that said, "Hi, this is Ned. Hi, you've reached me. It's Nestor's Love Shack." And I'd play some music or something. Leave your message at the beep. You beep. "Hey, dude, you going skating tonight? Give me a call. We're going to get beer. It's Monday Night Football." So like that. So back in the day, I would use that to record every conversation. So I bought those tapes. I would buy boxes of Radio Shack tapes, right? And they were little tapes, and they were 60s or 90s. So it would be like David Bowie's calling in. I would hit play. The phone would ring, I'd hit play, and the whole thing would be taped.
Nice.
So I had all of these tapes. They were in a tuxedo box. They were in a Hiken tuxedo box. Scott Furman will appreciate that. So they were all in these boxes, and I had them for 25 years, 88, 89, 90, 91. So we're going for a time frame. So my wife got sick in 2014, so it'd be 25 years, 23 years at that time. And I still had two functioning cassette players that used AA batteries.
Yep.
I took those. I had one single wire that would wire literally into this laptop that we're recording on, my mini wire in, mic in,
right.
Line in, and I sat at her bedside with fresh batteries, and I hit play, and I watched the heartbeat. I didn't listen to any of it. I just saw that it was recording, and I recorded my entire archive of my music interviews when my wife was fighting for her life. And that's how I learned how to do that format, right? Because I had fresh bat, when the tape would start to speed up and slow down, I would have to change it, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I got to redo that one.
Yeah.
You know, Joan Jett's didn't sound very good that way. So I figured out how to do it. But then I had video cassettes. And the video cassette era for me, I had some incredible stuff. All of my Lawrence Taylor, Buddy Ryan tapes were on VHS.
Okay.
All of my Super Bowl, Monster Monday, Brian Baldinger at Sporting News Radio, they didn't roll on tape. They rolled on VHS because the tapes were 6 hours long.
Right.
So they would roll audio on a videotape.
Smart.
Because it was a 6 hour tape.
Yeah.
So all of my Monster Mondays are on VHS. So I'm like, all right, now how am I going to get VHS then? This is probably 5 years ago. It's after Jen got better and before the plague. And I had a videotape of me in 1981. I was in a play, Oliver, as a 13-year-old kid. I was the lead. I was the Artful Dodger at Colgate Elementary.
Nice.
And I had the original tape of it. And that, to me, was a little bit of the holy grail of all the tapes. You know, also, John Buren, when Chris Ealy got the 13 job, you knew Chris, right? Chris was the one playing your highlights on Saturday nights and Sunday nights. Chris was a lacrosse official, wonderful man, Chris Ealy. Chris won the So You Want to Be a Sports Guy contest. I tried out for that. I had the videotape, lost forever. It had been on a videotape of me and John Buren doing shit. I was going to be a sports guy. And so I had these tapes, and I didn't have them digitized. And you weren't doing that work then, or you would do that work for me because you were buddies, maybe?
Yeah, I would do it for buddies and family, yeah.
But, like, I didn't want to bother you. This is 5 years ago.
Sure.
And I went on the internet and hacked it up, and I bought a piece of software that worked.
Yeah.
And a cable that worked. And when it worked, I felt like the smartest guy in the world, dude. When I found that Oliver tape, and there I am, first time in 40 years.
That's awesome.
Singing Consider Yourself and singing I'd Do Anything for You. And my wife was like, oh my God. Like, look at you. So I got a hold of that. And now the cool part, I think, in the modern era is it's wonderful to have it in the basement for your friends, but it's so much fun to share it with your friends.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, MP4 and .mov. I love digital because it can be shared.
It can be shared.
The things that used to, you have to come over to the house to watch the thing that I did or whatever, it's now out there, and I think you facilitated that.
Easy to share.
For people like me that have those kinds of things and don't know what to do with it or don't know how to touch it, you're affordable, you're right down the street. If you're afraid to touch it because you're afraid of screwing it up.
That's right. Some people can do it, and some people, like you, there it is out there. You can order the stuff. You can do it yourself. Some people want to do that, and that's fine. I encourage them. But other people don't have the VHS deck anymore, so they might have these tapes. They might have they just don't have the components. So you come to us, we take care of that. But the things you can discover, and then once it's digital, you can share it so easily. But then you can edit it, right? Say that tape had 6 hours of things. You only wanted that 30 minutes. You can edit it, and then you can just have that as its new file, and then you can just send that and share that.
I'm pretty sure I found the tape of... and one thing I don't have made is the Super Bowl Sunday. Like, somebody gave me a tape of the Bobby Nick, Marty Bass, the day we did Whiskey Joe's. The Whiskey Joe day, I have that on a VHS. I've never converted that.
Okay.
As an example.
Sure.
Like, but my son... was with Jane Miller my little son in 1996, the day the Ravens came back, the Dump Trumpy Day, the Raiders Day, right? Memorial Stadium. My son wound up on live TV in front of the Nasty Van, right on City College parking lot there, right on the hill.
Right.
And my son went on with Jane Miller, and my dad does sports radio on AM 1230 WITH. He went, so I have a video of my boy doing that wearing a Get Nasty shirt.
Awesome.
So fun things. Towson Transfers is the name of the company. Greg Landry's my pal. We're Conrad's Crabs. We're right around the corner. We are literally 5 paces from him, 5 paces from Steve Elliott at Elliott Chiropractic Life, 10 paces from my pal Paul Lamanti at Gentleman's Gentleman, and right across the street from Goodwill, where I have donated almost a truckload of stuff over the course of time. Our friends at Window Nation, buy two, get two free this month, and our friends at the Restaurant Association of Maryland reminding you about Restaurant Week from the 16th to the 25th of September, and of course the Maryland Lottery. Greg didn't win because he wasn't lucky today, but you can get lucky. I'm giving away, I got my $10,000 lucky scratch-offs here. I gave you one. Let me show the ticket here. This is what a losing ticket looks like. Steve's getting free lunch. Steve Elliott, he won, but we'll be giving some tickets away. Thanks for being my friend. Thanks for being here forever and being a sponsor. And if you got old digital, old media, old film, old pictures, this your dude. He'll take care. He's right around the corner behind Total
And
One.
Listen for our new spots on WNST.
He says they're funny. I'll be the judge of that.
You be the judge of that.
He gives good commercial. He puts more time into it than I do. I just read what's in front of me. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, broadcasting from Conrad's Crabs. Big shout out to Ginger at J.O. She couldn't be here today. We had a little open slot for her today, but we're going to get her a little further on down the line, or as Bruce Springsteen would say, further on up the road. We are WNSC, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more from Bainesville, Towson, Parkville, West Parkville, East Towson. I call it Lock Raven. We're Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.